Welcome back. 11:58. We are live right here on the streetcar. Let me hear it. Biggest game of the year. Hey, you don't know who's going to stop by, Vern. You don't know. Former Chiefs great. Former Iowa Hawkeye. Danen Hughes just got on the bus. He just got on the bus. All right. And so we'll stop traffic for Danen Hughes. He's on, I mean, on the bus. I'm sorry, streetcar. She is on my ass, ain't she? I really do like that jacket, though. Yeah, Danen is in
my
the house.
My jacket? Yeah.
We had one of your...
They're nice.
It's not your jacket, sir. Will you stop, man? Can we get this off the... Can we please? We're on bus 802. You want it? Streetcar 802. I did that one on purpose. We're on streetcar 802. Hang on and jump on with us. So, I got to get this off to everybody that we've talked with, because I'm starting to get real nervous now that I've continued to talk with people about my Marcus Peters that I have tonight. So you know about it. How you like? I know you'll tell me the truth. You feel good about my chance?
No. Is that clear enough? I want to know what kind of font. Are you going to get like calligraphy font or, you know, some fancy font? Or are you just going to get block letters? Bubble letters, something like that? No.
Bubble letters?
That's old school right there, bubble letters.
I have the show tattooed in cursive right here, so I was going to put it right over the top because he thinks it'd be better if it said Lando 22 show. So you have no belief.
No, I don't have any belief. I think Marcus Peters is having a down year. He's better than what he's played, but I think our offense has shown that we can expose anybody. And if he's shown a little weakness, if he's shown even an inkling of doubt, we'll expose it. And it'll be, you know, like Christmas morning.
So what is it? Christmas Eve with Lando? Do you think Lando can't be exposed by Robert Woods and company? You think Lando can't get? You don't think they're going to try to put Brandon Cooks over there? That's what I'm holding on to.
Stop reaching.
I'm not reaching. Brandon Cooks is good.
Well, you know what? Brandon Cooks is good. Robert Woods is solid. But, I mean, I just feel like we won't be in a position where those guys will be exposed as clearly as Marcus Peters. I mean, the cameras will be on Peters the entire game. Obviously, you know, they don't have the pass rush from the outside like we do. They got the guys up in the middle and Sue and Donald. But the outside guys, Fowler obviously is solid. But I just feel like there'll be more opportunities. The lights will be shining on 22 a little bit more than they'll be on Scandrick.
I feel like this is the biggest game of the year. I thought the Patriots game was really big. But how this is moving, like it's just the buildup for this. And I know ESPN is really pushing it. But the buildup for this is crazy. Is there a game that you can remember in the regular season that was this big and how it kind of put me in the mindset of how players are going to be reacting in this?
Well, I mean, I'd say this was a big game. Now, I will go against you just a bit. Prior to yesterday's San Diego, L.A. Chargers loss, it was going to be the biggest game. Now, to me, I can exhale a little bit knowing that we got a little bit more cushion. The Chargers showed a little weakness in that game. And I think the Chiefs will be a little bit more relaxed because of it. And to me, that's why I give us a little bit even more of a chance of winning this game, because they can go out there and play a little bit more relaxed, not feeling like somebody's biting on their coattails. But having said that, if you talk about games when I played that were like this, not necessarily to the extent, I'd actually even measure it against the Patriots game. When I was, I think it was 95, we were playing the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
I remember this.
And I remember Mark Collins and guys coming in the locker room at halftime. Now, I'm just a third-year guy at that point. Guys coming in the locker room like, hey, you know, these guys are just men like us. They put their pants on just like us. We can play with them. And the game was close going into halftime. Actually, it wasn't too bad at the end of the game. But I think that was a reality check for a lot of the young guys, like, you know, yeah, you watched Emmitt Smith and you watched Michael Irvin and Troy Aikman and them winning titles, but you belong too. And I think the wake-up call, even in a loss, we don't talk about moral victories in the NFL, but even in a loss, I think a lot of the young guys on this roster recognize in that Patriots game, hey, we belong. Just because that's Tom Brady, just because that's Belichick, we belong. And that was a wake-up call that has sparked them to play better since. And I think that's going to be the catalyst in tonight's game. The confidence that these guys recognize that they belong on the field with anybody.
Danan Hughes joining us here on the Streetcar Show in Vern, 610 Sports Radio. Man, I feel a way, and Show brought this up pretty early on in the season about Tyreek Hill. Man, I treat him like the way we used to talk about running backs, where even if he's not going.
I thought he was just a return guy. He's a return specialist, no?
That sarcasm comes dripping through the radio. But, man, I read an article. Drew Brees says Tyreek Hill's the most dangerous player in the NFL. Every one of these opposing locker rooms that I've been in this season, the only guy that they name, that they don't just use the number, they say that man's name. I feel like Tyreek, no matter how the game is unfolding, you have to put the ball in his hands, like you used to talk about with running backs, where if Barry Sanders isn't getting his early, keep feeding him. Eventually he'll break it. Tyreek Hill feels like the new age Barry Sanders.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we haven't seen a guy since Barry that can make something out of nothing like Tyreek Hill, that can take a jet sweep or reverse, go 15 yards back and still get 10 yards for a first down. That's unheard of, to take a quick hitch route or a slant route and go to the house just by making guys miss. That's scary for the second level, that this guy can not only run by me, but he's shifty enough and quick enough that he can shake me out of the boots, make me an ESPN highlight, and also take it to the house with the peace sign up. You haven't seen that. Guys circling or being around, and technically when he's supposed to go down on the ground, he's able to shake one and get 5-10 extra yards. I understand why Drew Brees and a lot of guys in the NFL give him props. I didn't understand why what's the defensive Ramsey, Jalen Ramsey, tried to slide him a little bit. Yeah, he was trying to, and then Tyreek took advantage of him on the go route. But at the same time, he has garnered enough respect in the NFL to get all those guys recognizing who number 10 is. And I would even go as far as saying Kareem Hunt will be also an intricate part of the game tonight as well. So between those two guys, it's going to be fun to watch.
To me, it always means so much more coming from a former player, because you have the proper amount of reverence for Barry Sanders. So to go with that says something. Patrick Mahomes, I think it also means more when it comes from a former player. I've said this season, not all season, but after watching maybe four or five games, that I think in 2018, I'm willing to say that Patrick Mahomes can stand shoulder to shoulder with Aaron Rodgers. He rolls his eyes because he needs to see more, but my eyes tell me he's there. You got better eyes than I do when it comes to this game.
I absolutely believe it. I mean, Aaron Rodgers' skill is different than his resume. Yes, they're similar in many ways, but when I watch skill versus skill, that's when I say they can be on the same field. Now, the resume is yet to be determined, but skill versus skill, the throws, the trust, across your body, of evading tacklers, buying time for your receivers. The one attribute that we haven't seen around Kansas City in a real long time that I watch in Patrick Mahomes is his ability to still keep his eyes deep downfield. We always talk about quarterbacks keeping their eyes downfield when they're scrambling. Rich Gannon did an outstanding job for us, back in the 90s, obviously MVP with the Raiders. There are quarterbacks that keep their eyes downfield. But then there's quarterbacks that keep their eyes deep downfield. You saw the Packers, was it Thursday night, the touchdown throw, scrambling out of the pocket, Alex Smith. Most quarterbacks will throw that to the sideline. They'll throw it out of bounds. They might run for 5 or 6 yards. But to keep your eyes deep downfield, trust one-on-one coverage, that's an innate ability that not all quarterbacks are wired to be. Patrick Mahomes has that just like Aaron Rodgers.
My deal is to be Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, I mean, they did something to have that name. And I just feel like he's got to do something to have that name. He's more talented than Tom. Easy. He may be more talented than Aaron. He may be able to do things that Aaron can't do. But to have that name, to say shoulder to shoulder, there was something that got them to be there. That's my only thing.
You know what? The nod I would give to Aaron Rodgers is, just like Tom Brady, he's done a lot of his magic with non-name guys. And that's not what we've seen from Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he has Tyreek Hill. He has a Sammy Watkins, who's been very solid in the NFL when he's healthy. He has one of the best, if not the best, tight end in the NFL and one of the best running backs in the NFL. So I guess his resume down the road will have to show that he can do it with some no-name guys like we've seen Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers do.
I did want to get to you about this. With you were here when Montana was here, right?
Yes.
And I watched this last night. It was showing the run of the 93-94 team beating Pittsburgh, beating Houston. And everything that I was hearing when Joe came in was, well, we used to feel this way about the Chiefs being down by 10 in a game, but Joe's here, so we feel different. Everything I heard about Joe Montana the last year is what I've heard about Pat Mahomes. But this is Joe Montana's, what, 4 Super Bowls at the time, and was thought of as the best to have ever done it. Pat in 10 games has already done, is having the same conversation. Like, I'm just curious, is that just me tripping or you live both of them? Are you hearing the same things between?
Absolutely, but you also have to go back even further from before Joe came on. It was about running downhill, grind, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, Christian Okoye, Barry Word type of running, and then they happened to throw the ball down deep every once in a while when teams loaded the box. When Joe came in, you know, like you saw on that special, we were throwing on first down, second down. We were mixing it up, two-minute offense, hurry-up offenses, the true West Coast offense. So it is a little bit different because of where we were coming from in the late 80s, early 90s to when Joe stepped on the scene. It was magical to be a part of, but I do see some remnants of what Patrick Mahomes is doing now with what we went through in 93 and 94 with Joe.
All right, let's get to Sammy. We got to talk about Sammy Watkins.
I love Sammy.
Questionable for tonight, but if you didn't practice 2 days ago, you're not likely to play tonight. I think we can all agree that he should have signed the contract. Maybe he's making more than he should. But can you foresee a way in which, on the postgame show or tomorrow, people are focusing more on the absence of Sammy Watkins more so than they are on the deficiencies of the defense, to where Sammy's the GOAT?
I wouldn't say it that far. I think you guys made reference to it earlier, and I think it's the smartest take that I've heard in regards to they signed Sammy Watkins because they didn't know Patrick Mahomes yet, and they wanted to surround him with as many weapons as possible. We've gone through many lean years with subpar number twos, heck, subpar number ones in the past. So to want to fill your arsenal with as many weapons as possible, nobody's going to knock that. So, but now we've seen the body of work from Patrick Mahomes. We've seen what we think he can be as a playmaker with average receivers. So you're going to have a little hindsight in regards to, you know, some buyer's remorse because you paid so much for Sammy Watkins. But when he's healthy, he's still a very dominant receiver. He can still be a strong number one. I don't have a problem when you have the money to spend. If they were contemplating and weighing options on spending it on something else, then maybe I can have an argument. But you have the money to spend and you need a top-tier receiver, I don't have a problem with it. If he needs to be healthy, but he's a playmaker, man.
I can hear my boss in my head right now telling me not to be greedy, because I sure can talk about this a little bit more. But thank you, Dana Hughes, joining on with us. We are on. Thank you. I know Dana was busy and helped us out and jumped on with us, because this is a big game, and we got to bring out the big guns. We've had the mayor. We've had Dana. We've had Billy. And it's going to get no shit in the building. I see you. Coming up, we'll get on to this thing that no one's talking about that could really, really screw this game up for us.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Shout out to Dana Hughes and all our guests. Dana Hughes just hopped on the streetcar with us. We are live. 802 is the car that we're on. Protein House. This is not only the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line 69306. They hopped on the bus and they got smoothies. Let's hand out some smoothies. Who wants a smoothie? There you go. Who wants a smoothie? You gotta get this. I gotta talk. So Nurse Jen out here stepping up. Nurse Jen, she is a listener. Nurse Jen, where are you from?
I'm from Bait City.
She's from Bait City. No clue where that is, but that sounds like a nice place. Nurse Jen is a real listener. She know your boy is on that keto, and she brought me a keto lunch. I could shout right now. I ain't gonna lie to you. Not the Tatcha.
Tots are for Vern.
Tots are for Vern. I can't get the tots. It's solid is for me. All right, that's huge. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Anybody, come on, get it, get a shake. I know she's over here angling for it in that pink jacket.
Ask her if she wants one of the jackets.
Nobody wants your clothes, Serta. Stop. Nobody wants your clothes.
We got some gift cards.
Oh my! Come on now. Come on. That's like 50 gift cards. Quit playing. That's like 100. Actually, my man over here just said, "Let me stick my hand out. I want one." We're having a good time here. Once again, we're on the streetcar. It's a big game, the biggest game of the year, and that's what we're going to treat it as such. You can hop on. We're here till 2 o'clock. Right in front of Carrington and Brad Fanning. They will be live at Winning Streaks. You can check them out up in Harris Casino. And after that, we're still going to be holding it down at Winning Streaks because Fesco in the morning will be hosting the watch party. 610 is your football station. I said 610 is your football station, right? And we will be holding it down tonight for you. Vern. I'm not kidding you. This is something about this game that we have not talked about, that we have not discussed, that could make this game bad. And that is, Vern, this is the game of the year, right? I would say in the NFL, this is probably the game of the year. And I feel like this is the push and the buildup that ESPN, the number one sports entity in the world, has been pushing this game. It's on their air. And we got Joe Tessitore. Booger, his name. Yes, he's going by Booger McFarland, who is riding in a spaceship on the sideline. And Jason Witten, whose hair is 10 times worse than Vern's, and he just played last year. He is, man. Jason Witten is bad. He's tricking you up there. He's tricking you. Oh, yeah, Jason's thin up here and in the back. I've seen him. Watched videos when he took his helmet off last year. It was over. But we're stuck with them. Like, if you think about the other big games this year, Patriots, Packers, Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth. I believe Al Michaels is selfish, but he is probably the best of all time. Earlier, the Chiefs played the Patriots, Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth. The Saints played the Rams. It was Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. And I don't know how some people feel about Joe Buck. But we got Joe Tessitore and Jason Witten and Booger. This feels like I need, like, Brent Musburger back for this. It feels like if it was a big fight that Mark Jones would be calling it instead of Jim Lampley. It's just going to ruin it for me. Could you imagine if a Mayweather fight, Tyson, if it was Mark Jones instead of Jim Lampley? I got to be hot. This is good. This game has such build up. The game of the year.
But Joe Tessitore.
Serta's newsflash.
Joe Tessitore.
What about Joe Tessitore?
I like Joe Tessitore. It's just, I mean, this is just not his thing.
I don't know why, like, you guys are trashing Booger McFarland. I love
thing.
Booger
He's not
McFarland.
Good enough. He's not rare.
The New Orleans Saints spent their entire Sunday afternoon embarrassing the Eagles. The most humiliating part, however, might have been in their eventual 48-7 win. They're up by 31 points and already facing 4th-and-7 just outside of field goal range. The Saints elected to go for it. Drew Brees hit Alvin Kamara on a fly route easily. Running back carried Eagles safety Malcolm Jenkins into the end zone, which would give them a 45-7 lead. Jenkins was seen after the play, giving Sean Payton the bird.
Saints go for it. Kamara down the sideline. What a throw. Another touchdown.
I personally found it hilarious that Sean Payton, what this comes down to is Sean Payton was clearly upset that Doug Peterson beat him in golf and that he got to pick the Saints uniforms that week. And we know this about Sean Payton anyway. Sean Payton likes to rub people the wrong way. Sean Payton's my kind of head football coach. He is my kind of guy. So I love this.
Go ahead, sir.
But, you know, Malcolm Jenkins has reason to be upset. I don't have a problem with Malcolm Jenkins giving Sean Payton the finger. I think more football players should give head coaches the finger.
Who is the other players you would want to be giving coaches the finger, Serta?
Odell Beckham to anyone in the Giants
front
office.
Oh, no, you're right.
Dak
Odell
Prescott,
should have given it to McAdoo.
Give Jerry the finger. That'd be fantastic.
You said you thought it was Dak's fault, the reason why the Cowboys. You said Dak is worse than Sam Darnold.
I still stand by that. I just want to see any Dallas Cowboy show any type of backbone.
Well, really, it's Patrick Peterson, right? Like, Patrick Peterson is the guy who should be giving.
That's his own fault. That's his own damn fault. You bought whatever Bidwell was selling. You're dumber than I thought, Patrick Peterson. Do not do that show.
I think it is. I don't believe it's Pat's fault.
Like, I would love it if Le'Veon Bell showed up to Heinz Field
and just ran down
the sideline, giving everybody the finger.
Yeah, but you think Le'Veon should give it to Tomlin, or is this should be to other people?
Teammates.
I think
that
Ben,
offensive line.
Like, he should run up to Ben in his face and just give him the finger.
It's kind of like what my son did to me this weekend. My son punched me in the balls this weekend. I think he was going for my stomach, but he punched me square in the nuts, and I just crumpled to the ground. I couldn't get mad because it was my fault. We were playing this game where I was trying to make him tap out, and he taps out. I had him in the Kurt Angle ankle lock, and then when he spun out of it and tapped out, he got up and just punched me square in the nuts.
Did you use it as a teaching experience of how guys go about things and we don't do that?
I was in such pain for 15 minutes, I couldn't use it yet. Then I forgot. But I will set him down for a teaching moment. I don't play that. That's the worst game. The hit in the nut game, that's ridiculous.
Ball tapping. Who's
playing? I mean,
that's
you do that
like
maybe in high school. Yeah. But. What did you say, Serta?
The ball tap. Ball tapping. That's what we called it.
That's not a hard name. Ball tap? That could be something else better. Yeah, like when you, like, you know the game when you fart and you got to touch a doorknob first? We call it safety. That's a name. Ball tap? That's just describing what it.
One of you guys still playing these games?
Safety? Depending on who you're with. I've got a group of friends where if you fart, you better call safety or you're getting drilled. Doorknob.
The Washington
I know what
R's.
Boy's trying to do, boy. Go ahead.
What, you ever play BB Butcher?
He's trying to fart.
Have you ever played BB Butcher? Where if you say any B word, you have to say BB Butcher directly behind. I almost got suspended from school. If you say any B word, like if I say, hey, you're the best, Vern, and I don't say BB Butcher right behind it, you could just start getting punched. Call BB Butcher.
I don't know what that is.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, that sounds like a really frustrating
game. That might be a
black
game. At Blue Springs High School, we was playing B.B. Butcher, and Jim Finley, the principal, almost suspended all of us. Because I said, what? And sometimes when you forget, I said, boy, man, bam, 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 because there's some people who were ready for it. Too much? I'm just sorry. I remember B.B. Butcher.
The Washington R's were scheduled to work out quarterbacks EJ Manuel, TJ Yates, and Mark Sanchez today, and it actually just coming out that they are indeed signing veteran quarterback Mark Sanchez to be Colt McCoy's backup.
Butt fumble, BB Butcher? Really? Like Mark Sanchez? I didn't know he was still about it.
I didn't know he was still trying to play football. I thought he hung it up.
Coming up. Way to hold it down, Steve. It's sad that Mr. Turtleneck was able to do something that the Chiefs, Mr. Turtleneck is Steve Ford, was able to do something that the Chiefs couldn't do and should have done a long time ago.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Again, if you're heading to downtown Kansas City and you want to jump on the streetcar, we are car number 802. Download the app so you can figure out exactly which exit you want to jump on. The K-City Post app. Download it now. Keep it. Next time you're downtown, Nice way to jump on the streetcar, especially if you're meeting someone down here. They're already on. You want to meet up with them. Download the K-City Post app and make sure you swing by Protein House while on the streetcar. Protein House hooking everybody up out here on the streetcar. And again, we got some gift cards to hand out, so plenty of reason to join Show and Vern as we get you ready for Chiefs and Rams tonight. The drive will take over at 2 o'clock. They're broadcasting live from Winning Streaks inside Harrah's, North Kansas City.
All right. Listeners out here, Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. You can text in. I'm going to need your help on this. We had a dinner party this week, and as you know, I've started this keto. Nurse Jen stepping up in a big way, bringing us a keto-friendly lunch. I started this keto, and we were having a dinner party. And I was nervous because people were bringing dishes over, and I didn't want to be disrespectful and not just eat it. But I gotta do it. And then, you know, my wife took it up a notch by just buying every single beer that I love. And it's just in the fridge, and I couldn't touch it. But then somebody brought some macaroni and cheese, which is a no. Somebody brought two different type of potatoes, some mashed potatoes, some new potatoes. Then they brought, there was a few things, some rolls, some bread. Like, I was ready, but I couldn't, but I didn't want to be disrespectful and not eat people's food, corn on a cob, which is a good no-no. So I felt like I got to get some of it. So I got, like, some mashed potatoes, small macaroni and cheese. I didn't drink any of the beer. I just stayed with the water because I just didn't want to go through the conversation of, hey, I didn't want my wife's coworkers to be like, God, your husband's a richer head. He wouldn't eat any of our food. Like, I felt bad about it, so I did taste a little bit.
Off the Rundown.
All right, we can do that. Let's go Off the Rundown, sponsored by absolutely no one. Someone could step up. I just wanted to get all turkey, and somebody brought some greens, and I really didn't know what the season was into that, so I was wondering. But I just wanted to just do that, but I felt like I made the right move, right? This is the first time I ever met our coworkers, right?
Are you kidding me? Do you really believe that I'm going to buy this? Do you believe anybody out there is going to buy this? Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. You're not buying this, are you? So you're telling me that the reason why you cheated on your diet was because you didn't want to come across as a Richard head to your wife's coworkers, as if they were truly upset that you didn't eat their mashed potatoes and they brought it up to your wife wouldn't be like, hey, well, here's the quick explanation. My husband's making some changes in his life for the better. I think you can appreciate that. Man, no. Don't sit here and peddle this garbage.
At the moment, Vern, that's not how it's taken. We're sitting at the table, and they're just looking at him like, dang, I spent all this time making these mashed potatoes, this corn on a cob, and I know this dude's hungry. People could look at my side.
Give me that mic. Hold up. I spent all this time making this corn on the cob? No, stop it. It took all this time making these mashed potatoes? Stop it. You just wanted them, and now you have spent the past 3 days figuring out, all right, man, how do I justify this to myself? I was doing so good. I was real proud. Nobody's buying it, boss.
I'll go to the Protein House, eat with a text line. When is Show ever worried about coming off as a Richard head? That's what you said. It said, when am I ever? No, I am worried about with people that I care about. Like the first time I met KDB, which was obviously, assertive, wildly successful, I wanted that to be great because I care about how she cares about me because it's you. I care about you. And I care about my wife's coworkers and how they feel about her. What's up, folks? How you doing? That hat is clean, man. I ain't going to lie to you. I like that. How much you want for it? 35, I'll give you right now. I'm just kidding. That's all right. $56. 56 even. 56.50. Last opportunity. 78. $78. All right. No, I mean, I felt bad. 80. No, I didn't want that to happen. Like, because that would come off of Richard Head. Like, I'll tell you right now, if I came over and I brought my specialty, and nobody
What's
ate it.
Specialty?
I mean, I got a few specialties now.
None of it is just corn on the cob, mashed potatoes, easy meals.
Those are just easy meals if you make it right.
I mean, mashed potatoes right there. From scratch.
No, that's culture.
Take a minute. Well, like, if you're making instant mashed potatoes,
I got some people on this bus know macaroni and cheese ain't no easy damn meal if you make it right. Yes, you did.
I said mashed potatoes and corn on the cob. Here you go again.
Mashed potatoes
take
some time.
Trying to turn the whole streetcar against me.
Like, if you make them from scratch, they take some time. I make them from scratch. I make fantastic mashed potatoes.
Serta's lying now and saying he makes them from scratch. No one believes you make mashed potatoes from scratch.
For myself. They're fantastic. I'm great at making mashed potatoes.
He said for himself. All right, Serta. Like, I don't know what the text line is saying, but I'm sure most people agree with me and say, yeah, you got to eat a little bit. Can't be rude on people's food. Let me tell you how far I'm going on this keto. We had to take communion. I almost didn't take it. Jen Nurse said, I almost didn't take it because of the sugar in the grape juice and the carbs in the cracker. But I went ahead and took my blessing. But I did it. But I almost, that's how serious I am with my 17 pounds I've lost.
You're not. You just cheated.
I know it went for 13. Would you sit back? And let me live and win. 17 in my mind really steps it up. I do want to get this D forward real quick because I was listening to Fesco in the Morning, who you can catch tonight as they host the party at Winning Streaks at 6 o'clock after the drive. We'll be out there live doing their show. I was listening to you about to just go ahead and eat these tater tots in my face. You came out the bag with two of them. No. They played some sound on D Ford, Serta, and I want you to throw this out. They played some sound on D Ford, and this is something that I have been pushing and complaining that the Chiefs could have helped and ended this Eric Berry situation a long time ago.
I don't know. I mean, I enjoy being around my brother every day and just enjoying his spirits. We don't involve ourselves. I know one thing. I just did a very groundbreaking core workout with EB yesterday, me, him, and Steven Nelson. And we break bread every day and make each other better as players and as friends. And so that man is taking a step every day of his life to get better. He wants to be on the field. So if he's not on the field, it's for a reason. So everybody can get over that. He'll be back.
So you're guaranteed he's going to be back then?
I don't know. But he prepares every day to play this game. So whenever he comes back, you know that it's time for him to come back.
For those of you on the bus, you missed it. It's D Ford who on the I'm sorry, streetcar. Is she off? Streetcar, not you, the other
one. The KC streetcar.
She's gonna hit me. For those of you on the streetcar, you missed this. Please don't tell her. D Ford, he said, God dog, man, I can't keep this thing. Do I? D Ford, who sounds like he is hosting some sort of a call service all the time and sounds like he's always wearing a turtleneck and that he has an S-curl in his hair. D Ford, as he said, if he's out, meaning Eric Berry, he's going to be out for a reason and that he's going to come back. And that's something the Chiefs could have talked about and squashed a long time ago. Now, and I've argued this, that they've put a guy in Eric Berry who has beat cancer, a guy to me that is somebody who should be up here in this city, more respected than anybody. They've left him out to dry. And in a little small interview, D Ford came out and did what the Chiefs should have done a long time ago. Like, come on, man, that you don't do that to me, to Eric Berry. And I think that we got people calling in saying Eric Berry's a pansy. Testing his loyalty and talking about, I don't know if he's tough enough. This guy went through chemotherapy. He's returned from multiple injuries. Anybody out there who has known anyone, and I think that would be everyone, who's known anyone or been a person who has been stricken with cancer, and has seen that person or yourself have been able to overcome that understands how tough you got to be. He's the last person that I think the Chiefs should leave out like this. And D Ford did it in 15 minutes.
And it's not as if D Ford said something that he's uneducated about, like, oh, I guarantee he's going to be back. No, D Ford was still careful about it. And look, I don't know when he's going to be back, but I can promise you this. This dude is working every single day to get back out there on the field. D Ford's a better teammate to Eric Berry than seemingly anybody that's above him, anybody in a managerial or coaching position. Thanks to Nurse Jen. Thank you. Thanks for those tater tots.
I mean, but honestly, that wasn't hard. I mean, he's doing better than any PR staff. That we're doing a live radio show here. Man, he went off at Hallmark. That's what I'm talking about. You get any bow ties? You get any bow ties? He went off at Hallmark. To me, it's easy. It's not hard. It's not hard at all to have done that. And I just think it's disappointing that the Chiefs haven't been able to do that, and D Ford pulled it off that quickly. Coming up here, we got to hit a break. Coming up, he did it, Vern. He did it. Gerard Dyson would be proud of this next gentleman.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Live on the streetcar here, Show and Vern on the road. This is a big game, so we're treating this as a big game. 610 Sports Radio, the football station. We're doing it big all day. After us, we're a bus 802. If you're trying to catch up, streetcar 802. I'm gonna stop this. Just slap me the next. We're a streetcar 802. Nah, man, you heavy-handed, man. Chill out. Streetcar 802, it's been a party. We've already had the mayor, Sly James, on. We've had Damon Hughes, Bill Moss.
Sweeney coming up.
All right. And some more surprises potentially coming up. We got somebody coming up here in the next hour, maybe in about 15 minutes, that is almost icon status, right?
Icon.
Yeah, and we've been stood up.
Pete Sweeney.
Not Pete Sweeney. Pete Sweeney's not an icon.
The Sweeney dog.
He can't even say arrow correctly. Arrow. But Vern, we all saw this pretty much around the same time. That kid for the Chiefs that's Patrick Mahomes' best friend, whose names Lou Gehrig and Derek Jeter combined to be Gehrig Jeter. Well, I just call him Derek. What is his name?
Gehrig Jeter.
Yeah, Derek Jeter, who I just call him. Derek Jeter, who's a receiver of some, or tight end, I don't know. He's just Pat Mahomes' best friend and has been able to stay on the team. He is now on the roster. He is eligible to go tonight. He did it. This is, like, I thought that this was the new of the next Gerard Dyson, but you came up with a better comp.
Yeah, I think it's Christian Colon, because don't do that.
I want you to grab the mic.
You can't, okay. Yeah, no, he's Christian Colon. I know you want him to be Gerard Dyson, but the thing is with Gerard Dyson, when everyone gets to the club, Gerard just walks in. Christian Colon opens the door for Gerard and for Eric and for Lorenzo. Gehrig Jeter is going to open the door for Pat and for Travis and for Kareem. Gehrig Jeter right now, if I know him like I think I do, and I do, Gehrig is sitting around understanding all I have to do right now is make one big play, and I will become a star. Not a superstar. One big play tonight, and he will become a star. He will leapfrog Sammy Watkins.
Stop.
He will leapfrog everyone in the secondary, except for Eric Berry. He will leapfrog everyone except for Justin Houston in the linebacking core, and that includes D Ford.
Stop.
You do not understand how desperate people are for a great white hope. If he makes one big play, one big touchdown catch, Gehrig Jeter will immediately become one of the 10 biggest names, not nationally, but locally. You will see Gehrig Jeter jersey or two around town in the next month to come.
Jersey number? Do you even know his jersey number?
He doesn't know it. They haven't given it to him yet.
You don't know his jersey number, but you think people going to have it? Listen, is there any kid? With all due respect, go to hell. That is a stupid. That's just stupid. That's just stupid. There's no way. Derek Jeter or Larry Jeter or Garrett Jeter or Lou Gehrig, whatever his name is, he is not going to be bigger than Sammy Watkins. He's not going to be bigger than Dee Ford. Why? Just because he's Pat's best friend? No, the great white hope. It's not Peter McNeely. This is not like this is not.
What did Peter McNeely ever do other than make you remember his damn name for 25 years?
He got knocked out by Mike Tyson. That's why I remember him. So you said if he catches one touchdown tonight, no matter what, he's a star is born.
He's number 12.
He's number 12, sort of said. That's too good of a
He played for Alabama. I had no idea.
Because he transferred as a senior to Alabama. You're saying he's going to be Christian Colon. Christian Colon had the game-winning hit of the World Series, Vern. He scored the run in the wild card game. He's got to do a hell of a lot more to catch a pass to be a star. Now, you've lost it on this one. I respect you most of the time, but this is ridiculous. Like, you don't believe this. What has happened to you today?
Oh, I didn't know if you were going to give me the mic, if you were just going to trash me. Listen, I come from experience. From the cities I've worked with over the past two plus decades, I've seen John Kuhn become a star in Green Bay. I've seen Jeff Janis become a star in Green Bay. I saw people say, you know what, this Jordy Nelson, we don't need Greg Jennings and Donald Driver. The great white hope is real. They have been searching far and wide, and Travis doesn't do it for them. Travis has been too influenced, as you have laid out plenty of times in the past. I've never heard Gehrig talk, but I feel like he could give the people what they want.
So Travis is too influenced to be the great white hope. Travis is too influenced. I'll give you that. Travis, when he slid into that black girlfriend, it was over. So what about Eric? No. No, Dan Sorensen? Dan Sorensen from BYU? That is the great white. They gave him Dirty Dan. He's not going to get over Dan. To be the new great white hope, he's got to get over Dan Sorensen. He won't get over Dan.
With a touchdown, he will. Dan Sorensen was just, well, we got to go with Dan. Let's give him a nickname. He's all we got.
But you think they're you think they're looking for – this is ridiculous, sir. Nobody believes. This is absolutely – I don't know what's gotten into you today. I don't know what the text line is saying to you. But you didn't just say that. I think – Mitch Morris, somebody has to be. Dan Sorensen is clearly. Dan Sorensen is clearly. I am coming up with them. You're just boo-hooing Dan Sorensen, and you know that is the easy one. Mark Bullwichter. Can we say his name? He works for the other station, doesn't he? Mark Bullwichter. He was a great. You got to get more than one place. That's not going to be just one catch. So you're saying if he comes in, go ahead. He comes in. That's a nice jacket. It really is. I almost looked denim. That's nice. So you're saying if he caught three balls for 28 yards.
And a touch. Oh, he's the guy. You're proving my point in that it took you two names to get to Mark Bullwichter. You went, no, not him, not that offensive lineman. It's either Dirty Dan, Mark Bullwichter, or Len Dawson. We're back in the 60s now. Gehrig Dieter, tonight is your night.
Well, let's do it. Protein House. Eat with the Purpose, text line 69306. Who is the great white hope before we get to Len Dawson? I don't know. Vern said it's hard before we get to Len Dawson. Yes, Anthony Sherman. Thank you, text line. Anthony Sherman, when he wore those tight-ass overalls, when you could see everything imaginable, that was him. And he caught that touchdown against the Chargers. That was it.
That was what, week two? Chargers? Week one. What was the last time you mentioned Anthony Sherman on the radio since week one?
Well, Eric that's not fair. Cush.
Eric Cush. Really? Eric Cush is not even. I just thought of weed when I heard Eric Cush. That good Cush is what I thought of. There's got to be 10 before we get to Lynn. I'm having a hard time rolling them in. All the offensive linemen. All right, I'll give you that. Offensive linemen can't count. They can't count. But they appreciate it. Sean, somebody says Sean LaChapelle. My goodness. Sean, who else is white in the secondary? Who has been white in the secondary? Somebody have
Jason
one?
Jason Sehorn.
Jason Sehorn. Justin. Oh, he's calling Justin. I thought he said Justin. I don't remember. I can't remember. Have they had any? This really, that's, I guess Len Dawson it is. Sean McGrath. The tight end. Yeah, he was one. Come on, Serta. This is right in your wheelhouse. Who are guys you looked up to as Chiefs fans, Serta? There's certainly.
I like good players.
Serta said he liked good players. Come on now. I know there's heroes out there. It can't be Garrett Geeter or whatever that kid's name is. Coming up, a special guest, hopefully coming soon to surprise us. And can we continue to help out and get these great white hopes that have been here for the Chiefs?
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.